Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let us unite in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, whose goodness and mercy have been with us all the days of our lives, we thank thee for this fellowship of prayer. We humbly pray that thou wilt forgive our sins, strengthen our faith, quicken our hopes, and increase our love. We remember before thee persons who have been deeply hurt by disease and by iniquity. We thank thee for the healing process and for all who participate constructively in it. We rejoice, O God, that the primary documents of the Christian faith are open in our midst, that we are permitted to study them freely and to order our lives by the truth which thou hast made available to our minds. Give us grace to hear what thou art saying to us, and to obey thy upward call through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is my privilege at this time to present to you Dr. Edward A. McDowell. I suppose that I was given this opportunity by the Faculty Committee on Chapel in order that I might say a word about Dr. McDowell to the students who have recently entered the fellowship of this school. Dr. McDowell is a graduate of Furman University. He earned the Master of Theology degree and the Doctor of Philosophy at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. After years of very faithful and fruitful ministry as a pastor, he was called back to his theological alma mater to teach in the field of New Testament. In the summer of 1952, he was called from his position as head of the Department of New Testament Interpretation at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary to join the faculty of this school, where he taught until his retirement a little more than 1 year ago. He is held in very high regard by committed and mature people, as well as younger people across this state and nation, and indeed throughout the world, who have studied under his incentive and guidance. We are grateful to God for his heritage, for his talents, for his ministry as a Christian thinker with a compassionate heart, and for his leadership in this service today. Dr. McDowell.
I am very grateful to Dr. Binkley for those kind words, the affection and the esteem which I had for him when we were colleagues years ago in Louisville are even stronger today than they were then. I am tremendously grateful for the great job that he is doing as president of our beloved seminary. I read a few verses from the fourth chapter of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. As I thought of trying to share something with you this morning, my mind focused upon this beautiful verse which comes out of the experience of the greatest interpreter of Jesus Christ who ever lived. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. What is the treasure that Paul speaks of here? It is the shining of the light from God in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I think perhaps this is Paul's beautiful way of saying that this treasure that we have is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what are the earthen vessels? Actually, they were clay pots. Vessels that were easily broken. The fragments of these clay vessels, called ostraca, were used in place of papyrus, especially by the poor people of the first century, and thousands of these ostraca have been found in Egypt and elsewhere, on which were written letters, accounts, and other things. They are symbols, therefore, of the fragile vessel in which the gospel of Jesus Christ is held by you and me. So these earthen vessels represent not simply and alone our bodies, but I think our personalities as preachers, our total physical, mental, and spiritual beings. Paul reminds us that we preachers are human beings like everyone else. So I think that one of the first obligations of the minister, particularly of the young minister, is to accept the fact that he is an earthen vessel and think and act accordingly. As an earthen vessel, or as earthen vessels, because certainly we older ministers identify ourselves with you, as earthen vessels we are subject to temptation. Let us never forget that. To temptations, to the sins of the flesh. One of the saddest things that can ever happen to a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he should fail morally. And now and again we hear the sad, tragic story of some minister who has fallen morally. And surely whenever a minister falls before the temptation of the flesh in a serious manner, he stands as a landmark to the fact a weakness. We're subject to laziness because we are fragile vessels that are easily broken. Never forget that one of the real temptations of the minister is laziness. We can cover up, we can get by with so much. We are looked up to. We are honored. We are respected. And sometimes we presume upon the adoration of people and become lazy. But a minister of the gospel must remember that there is within him the power given to him by God upon which he may lay hold and go on living and go on growing and go on developing until God calls him home. But as earthen vessels, remember, we are subject to temptation. As earthen vessels, we are subject to pride. More and more I have seen that pride, plain, sinful pride, is one of the most dangerous enemies of the ministry. As earthen vessels, we should not imagine ourselves silver pitchers or golden bowls. But sometimes I'm afraid that flattery and ambition, which are ever with us, are so subtle that we begin to create false images of ourselves, and then we spend a good part of our energy attempting to live up to these false images. And in the end, just as surely as a man is a man, he will fall in the struggle to achieve the false image that he has of himself. Once again, remember, my dear friends, that the power is not of ourselves. The power is of God. And the power is always available, because I think it came to us when we dedicated ourselves and committed our lives to the Christian ministry. And so, when we are tempted to pride, let us remember that the power of God is available. As earthen vessels, we are subject to doubt and depression. God seems to be hidden. Perhaps at no time in Christian history does he seem to be as he is today, the hidden God. This beautiful verse of Scripture tells us that his light shone out of the darkness in the creation. But then it would appear, certainly to some of us today, that he retreated into the darkness, that he is the hidden God. And so in the midst of the wars and the rumors of wars and the calamities, the natural tragedies, the injustices, the skepticism, the atheism, so many other things that we might mention, God does seem to be in the darkness. After shining forth in the creation of the world and the universe, it would appear to us sometimes that he retreated into the darkness. But Paul reminds us that he shone forth again in the light in our hearts, which gave us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, my dear young friends, I come back again and again to Jesus. If God is hidden, if he seems to be within the veil of darkness, I come back to Jesus and I seek God in the face of Jesus. And I'll say to you without fear of contradiction that if God is not in the face of Jesus, he is nowhere. But then on the positive side, I want to remind you that we as earthen vessels are capable of greatness. Oh yes, we're easily broken. We are fragile, but by the power of Almighty God within us, we are capable of greatness. Greatness not because of what we are, no, no. but greatness because we can be used as vessels of the gospel and of the power of God. So therefore, we can be great because we can identify with all the earthen vessels of the world and know that we are like them and they like us. Therefore, we can have compassion. We can have love. We can have sympathy. We can forgive. Because we are earthen vessels. Now, this earthen vessel that is mine is fragile, yes. But it is, I say, capable of greatness. Let me continue to read, really, this great passage of Scripture, which part that I shall now read belongs with. We are afflicted in every way, but are not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. More correctly, I had faith, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we have faith, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our home, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal. In the heavens. One greater than we, dear friends, had a far greater treasure in an earthen vessel. The treasure contained in Jesus, the man Jesus, the treasure contained in this earthen vessel was the person of the Godhead. He honored the earthen vessel his Father gave him, and so honored all earthen vessels. We honor our earthen vessels by giving from them to the world the treasure in it, the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as he, the Lord Jesus, gave from his earthen vessel the life that saves all men who have faith in him. May we pray. O Lord God, we recognize our weakness. We call upon thee to strengthen us. We ask that we may recognize the power that thou hast granted to us, these human, frail vessels. Grant, O God, that we may be stronger, more loving, kinder, gentler, more compassionate, more forgiving. And then may we, because we lose ourselves, let the great treasure that God has entrusted to us be seen in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus.